The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology. But we start this program today.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With two words.
Back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Juan Soto is your 2022 Home Run Derby champion.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Clayton Kershaw starting the All-Star game.
I'm just so excited I get to do it here at Dodger Stadium.
Earlier on the show, ESPN baseball host Carl Ravage, Sydney and Taylor Scott. Still to come. Actor Justin Hartley. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen, hour number three, everybody. Yes, I started an hour of the Rich Eisen Show by saying my name.
Like Kilborn.
That just happened. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. Yes,
did you introduce yourself like Kilborn?
I just did. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Rich Eisen.
Oh, no. Hey, look outside. The ladder guy's back.
Dude,
get the money in the bank. Get the money in the bank. Get the money in the bank.
What is
get
happening? Oh, actually, like, you know what it is?
What is happening?
This is amazing.
You know what it is?
Is every entrance on this campus funneled through right behind my window?
Lately, I'll tell you what it is. See how it like kind of makes a big L here behind you? That is a big storage
closet.
You know
what? I don't care about the L,
ladders
the storage
and,
closet.
Like
behind
and
the monitor.
What's happening?
Yeah.
And everyone's wearing Day-Glow.
There's a cart.
Behind me.
There's more activity in the last 3 weeks out there than there's been in the last
TJ,
2.5 years.
TJ, like,
and it's all between the
doing.
Hours of 9 and 12 right. Pacific.
They put that ladder down.
Seriously.
The other thing is, too, we never open up the blinds anymore so they can't see in to know that we're on team.
Really like, yeah, no, they got their own jobs to do. Yeah.
I mean, I've been trying to get the blinds raised for
TJ,
like 2 years
put the ladder
now.
Up. Get the money in the
we
bank.
We could do it. We could do it. It just it's just blows the you know we're backlit.
Oh,
and that was the royal way. Not you. You're not backlit. Well, I'm backlit. So. Anyway, welcome to hour three.
Sorry,
Justin Hartley's about to join us. We haven't seen him in a long time. Where's
up?
He been? Wrapping up. This Is Us.
Yeah, I mean,
creating his own new drink.
He's pretty busy.
Okay, we got alcohol. We're gonna talk alcohol.
Ice cream and tequila.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we just had ice cream with Stuart Scott's daughters on what would have been his 57th birthday. Taylor and Sydney just left the studio. If you missed that, and Carl Ravage, how great was he in hour number one talking about the All-Star Home Run Derby last night? The Juan Soto sweepstakes window is officially open.
Officially open.
And we strolled down memory lane about Stuart and killer Craig Kilborn. That was fun. If you missed it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of that. You're going to hear in a lot of places that professional football is back because training camps have opened.
No, baby.
Two yesterday, Raiders, Bills.
Yeah, who do we got?
I got the check marks here today.
Got it?
Yes, sir.
There's a bunch today.
Rookies for the Atlanta Falcons. Welcome to the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Rookies for the Baltimore Ravens. Our friend Kyle Hamilton, pickleball champion. he's showing up for work today.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles Chargers just up the road.
Yay.
We're down the road. It's in Costa Mesa, California.
Costa Mesa's down.
Yep. Yeah. Welcome, Los Angeles Chargers rookies. Same for Dolphins rookies. New England. Hey, New England rookies. All right. That guy that nobody thought that Belichick
Cole
would draft.
Strange.
Yes.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Never heard of him.
Dr. Strange. New Orleans Saints rookies. Jets and Giants.
Hey.
Right across the street from each other. It's kind of like a Sharks and Jets. East Rutherford and Florham Park, New Jersey. There you go.
Right next to my home.
There you go. Eight. You're going to hear a lot. Like, that's the signal. 10 NFL. There's 32 teams. Almost one-third of this here league. Now open for business and training camps. And that's the signal that professional football has began, except for the fact that professional football came back a couple days earlier when the SEC held its media week opener. Professional football, pay no attention to those books and teachers and dirty looks or whatever that old school phrase used to be.
No more teachers. No more books.
I don't know.
Somebody looking at you dirty.
Hot for teacher. I don't know. That's a different
idea. Tan.
My angel's a centerfold. Oh, wait,
no more pencils. No more books. No more teachers. Dirty.
Pay no attention.
I made a varsity blues reference.
School presidents and pass fail and classes and curriculum. Nah. Professional football has arrived at the collegiate level, folks. It's the NIL, by the way, it was 1 year ago, earlier this month, right? It's now 1 year and, 19 days old? NIL was July 1, 2021. Everybody's just like, college football's changed. And like, okay, let's see how it plays out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally different landscape now, folks. And the organization, and you know I'm a Big Ten guy through and through. The Southeastern Conference, that's the leader. That is the one that has Alabama and Georgia within it. That is the spot that fired the shot across the Big 12 bow. The ones that got Oklahoma and Texas to come to it. And now Big Ten country has come to Los Angeles, California, USC and UCLA. Part of the Big Ten. Rumor has it, Big Ten was looking at USC and Notre Dame. Notre Dame is just still playing coy. I don't know what their gambit is. I have no idea. They're going to have to join. They're waiting to see how it all plays out. They'll join it. And it is whatever finally comes to fruition for a college football playoff. And Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, was leading that conversation last year. When he was saying 16 teams, 8 champions of conferences, and then 8 at large. And that's when the Pac-12 and the ACC and the Big Ten got together and formed an alliance. Remember that alliance? Mm-hmm. That's not so much of an alliance anymore, is it? And Sankey's kind of like, all right, well, you know, I've extended my hand to all y'all outside of the SEC. Now, as he said in his media day conversation, now he's saying, well, we're going to go back to the drawing board, I guess, in the college football playoff idea. Not into the at-large concept anymore. We think it should just be the best teams. That's it. No more at-large. Best teams within what? How about a Super League with the SEC and a Super League with the Big Ten? Now you're going to end up having, 32 teams out of that? Is there another, Chris, just I'm asking, is there another professional football outlet, an organization that plays football and pays its players that has 32 teams within it?
Oh, I can't think.
I'm racking my brain. So all of that is now the backdrop. All of that's now the backdrop for what happens next. Well, we know it's a 2022 playing season. That's what happens next. And Greg Sankey said this week, when he was asked if the SEC, were, if Super Leagues are coming, he said, we're already Super League. He said the words. Now what? Well, now let's hear from Nick Saban, since he is the modern day Bear Bryant, or he's now the all-time great, maybe, in the history of this sport at this level. Yeah. Way back in the day when there was no such thing as name, image, and likeness. And as you know, the last time we heard Nick Saban on the subject of name, image, and likeness is it was at a local conversation that got picked up nationally because he said Texas A&M had essentially paid its players to create the number one recruiting class this year. And that set off a whole hoo-ha between him and Jimbo Fisher. A lot of people thought this is Nick basically saying to the people and the business folk in front of him, hey, step it up. Step it up. Because if we're not number one in NIL, we might not be number one in recruiting, and then suddenly we may not be number one in the AP, in the coaches poll, or in whatever seeding for a college football playoff, or winning the college football playoff. Well, it sounds like Nick has a different approach now in talking about the NIL. This is what he had to say on the subject matter today.
Yeah, well, I don't dislike name, image, and likeness. I'm all for the players. I want players to do well. Our players did extremely well last year. They made over $3 million in name, image, and likeness. So I'm all for the players, you know, being able to do as well as they can and use their name, image, and likeness to create value. The biggest concern is, you know, how does this impact and affect recruiting? Because on the recruiting trail right now, there's a lot of people using this as inducements to go to their school by making promises as to whether they may or may not be able to keep in terms of, you know, what players are doing. And I think that, you know, that is what can create a competitive balance issue between the haves and the have-nots. And we're one of the haves. So, you know, don't think that what I'm saying is a concern that we have in Alabama, because we're one of the haves. But everybody in college football cannot do these things relative to how they raise money in a collective or whatever and how they distribute money to players. Those are the concerns that I have in terms of, you know, how do we place guidelines around this so that we can maintain a competitive balance.
I love it. It's gone from, I love it. I love this guy, man. I love him. It's gone from, hey, we got a problem here, the NIL. You know, we're in a conference competing against a team that just paid all of its players, to, hey, we're good with this. Do you know how much our guys made? $3 million. Alabama's players made $3 million, which is great. And we're one of the haves. We're one of the haves. I'm concerned about the have-nots. Last time we heard about it, it made it sound like he was one of the have-nots.
Right.
Well, we're on the verge of a have-not. We're a have. And I think this is a brilliant approach by him. Brilliant approach by him. Brilliant. And anybody who's sitting here and thinking that Alabama's got a problem and this may be the end of, like, it's going to level the playing field of Alabama. You know who's going to make sure the playing field for Alabama is tilted in Alabama's favor? Nick Saban. He's going to walk into somebody's living room, and if somebody's like, I can get more money from school X, school Y, school Z, if I'm Nick, I'll be like, great. Is Nick Saban coaching that team? Because I'm Nick Saban. Anybody needs to remind of who I am, Google my name.
Ask about me.
Okay? Ask around about me and what I can do and where players go from here and how much they make in the NFL. This is a much better approach for Nick Saban to take publicly than the one that he did a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Big time. Big time. And, you know, certainly since he's not potentially offending any of his colleagues. All right. So, of course, Jimbo Fisher is brought up to him. This is what he had to say. Go for it.
First of all, I have no issues or problems with Jimbo. You know, he's done a great job at A&M. He did a great job for us. You know, I always take criticisms or whatever in a positive way to self-assess me personally, in terms of maybe there is something that I could do better. And so any comments that anybody makes, you or any coach, I always take into consideration. So, but there is no issues or problems.
So he's better. He's a better person for all of it. Better person for all of it. That's great.
I just love how he is centered between the SAC logo and the Alabama logo.
The branding just means more there, as you know.
Perfect.
So let me just remind everyone where this is going. Nick Saban wants guardrails. Everybody wants the guardrails. You got to have guardrails. And initially, he wanted the guardrails so Alabama wouldn't become the have-nots. He is now saying, we're a have. He's concerned about the have-nots. He's
looking out for the little guy.
Guess how long that hand-wringing's going to last. It's already stopped. Because what's going to happen is the guardrails that Nick wants and that everyone else wants. You're hearing Lane Kiffin talk about there should be a salary cap, salary right? Cap, again, yeah. Yeah. This is professional football. It's all going in that way where they're gonna figure out how much players could be paid, how much not. Players, are they going to wind up pushing back about a union? I'm sure coaches are going to be very upset about that. School presidents won't be terribly happy about it, but it's coming. It's going to happen. And how is that going to work, Rich? Because there's going to be a small amount of teams that take their footballs and create their own league. And you better get in while the getting's good. You better have Sankey on speed dial. You better have the Big Ten and its member schools on speed dial, because those are the teams, those are the organizations that are already creating theirs. And so you're just going to have a small consortium that's 32. You want to have 32, you want to have 48, you want to have 64. Fine. Do that. Figure it out. Everybody, like the Big Ten consortium and the SEC consortium and the ACC consortium and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 that already apparently, you know, talked it out and said they couldn't figure it out. Those will have their own consortiums. You'll have a champion within those spots, and those four will play it off. How's that sound? That's just one idea just off the top of my head. And then within those consortiums, you're going to have name, image, and likeness rules. And that's how they're going to be. And the NCAA is going to be like, well, what about us? And they'll be like, new phone, who dis? This is the way it's going. Telling you all, this is the way it's going. And I think, by the way, Nick, whoever you sat down with, whoever Alabama sat down with Nick, brilliant new approach on the NIL. Brilliant. Do you know how much money my guys made? A lot of money. We're Alabama. I'm Nick Saban. We're a have, so we're good. Great approach. No more talking about anybody else or what they're doing, or other places are incentivizing players to come as an inducement. That's not supposed to be the case, but we're a have, so we're good. That's the handling it. We're not talking about sliced bread and Jimbo Fisher coming out with guns blazing. Say hello to my little friend. Press conferences.
That is okay. That's
so wild.
You know? Can you believe that happened? That happened.
No, I can't.
Okay.
I believe everything that happens nowadays, though, guys.
Okay. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We've got ourselves a conversation with Justin Hartley. He is here. Look at him. Can't wait to have him come out here and make my two shot very difficult. That's next on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. Back here on a Rich Eisen Show with a terrestrial radio outfit here.
It's only Tuesday, too.
We're one big happy family on Peacock and Sirius XM 85. Our friend Justin Hartley is here to discuss your partnership in... So it's Revel Spirits, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Revel. It's a Vila.
So what do we have here? We've got three.
We've got a Blanco, we've got a Reposado, and we've got a high proof añejo. This is the big daddy right here. You have that one?
Yeah. By the way, that was my nickname in high school, was high proof and
was it?
Yeah.
What is it? Well, there you go. You can have it.
High proof
and añejo. Yeah. So we're doing.
Wow, this
we're
is introducing. Beautiful. By the way, beautiful packaging.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Whole new spirit. So it's a vila. It's basically tequila.
Okay.
Mezcal. We take some of the processes by which they make both of those.
Right.
And we marry the two. Right. Triple distilled, and we make it in Morelos, Mexico.
Why'd you get involved in this?
I got involved. So I've always been interested in the, you know, distilling, and I used to brew my own beer, and but like for real,
really
stainless steel. I did the whole thing. I was a total nut.
Was this in college or something like that?
No, it was after college. When I was a full adult, man. Listen, you work hard, you play hard, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, anyway, that kind of went by the wayside, and I've always been interested in this, and I met a guy while I was wine tasting, oddly enough, and this man comes up to me, And he starts talking to me. You know, he's thrilled to be talking to me. And I just assumed, I think maybe he watches This Is Us or something, you know? And then he starts talking about a dinner that we had a couple weeks ago or something. And I'm thinking to myself, I've never met this guy. I don't know. He's a very nice man.
Yes, yes.
But I've never met him. He walks away. I go over to my friends and I go, guys, do we know that dude? A really nice man just came over. And they all look over and they're like, no, we don't know who that is. And I look back over at him and he's with his friends now.
Yes.
And he looks back over at me and you could see he was like embarrassed for some reason. Comes back over to me and he goes, I'm so sorry, man. I thought you were someone else. I don't know who you are. I've never seen the show. My friends told me who you were. I'm so sorry. And we started talking. I was like, it's quite all right. He ends up being a really fantastic guy, hilarious. And we exchange numbers. And he's like, I'm in the, you know,
this is how you got involved.
So we sit down and we're talking and I had a couple of ideas for him and he liked the ideas and a couple of different directions and he liked that. And we formed this partnership. And so now we're co-owners. Yeah.
Wow. Get out of here.
Yeah. Plus I have dirt on him. Blackmail.
Okay.
And I said, no, I'm kidding.
No, okay. No, but so have you ever determined who he thought you were? Asked him that question?
He thought I was a friend of his named Conrad, who I've also never met Conrad.
Have you ever met anybody named Conrad?
I've never met a Conrad in my life.
Okay.
But he better be tall and handsome. You know what I mean? If he looks like a thumb, I'm going to be like, you thought I was Conrad?
What? Really? I'm Conrad?
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
So
yeah, so my friend Micah and I have this venture together. We're very proud of it. If you get a chance to try it, I mean, it really is the best agave spirit on the planet.
It's okay.
It's wonderful, wonderful stuff.
So. Okay. And
otherwise, I wouldn't be involved in it.
No, of course not. Revelspirits.com is where you can get more information on all of this. That is an amazing story. Yeah. So this wouldn't have happened if he didn't think you were Conrad.
No. We have Conrad to thank, I guess. I'll probably get a phone call from Conrad wanting a piece now, won't I?
Conrad can go pound sand. We don't know who Conrad is.
We don't know who Conrad. I'm sure he's a fine man.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So my issue, and I'll share.
Yeah.
Tequila has always been a night ender for me.
Okay.
I can't even have it during the day.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, it just came off a 2-week vacation in Italy. I was a day drinker for
Italy.
2 weeks. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we could have run into. Did you run into Conrad?
I did not.
Conrad.
He's probably here right now, actually. He's probably watching.
So, I mean, I did a little bit of day drinking on vacation.
That's okay. You're on vacation.
You know, but I can't have that. So this is different, right? This is different.
Well, it's clean. There's three ingredients. Okay. We don't add sugar. We don't add vanilla. We don't add anything. It's purely what the soil gives you, which is beautiful. It's, you know, virgin soil. And
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. And again, everybody could check it out at revelspirits.com. We'll talk a little bit more about it here with Justin Hartley on the program. Do you miss This Is Us? Do you miss doing it? Or it was just so long you've been
done it?
It was really long days, hard work. Do you miss it at all? No, not really.
I miss the look, that's a tricky question. Because,
sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I don't want to say I don't miss it because that makes it seem like it's not as
rewarding.
It wasn't as big of a part of my life as it was. It was a massive part of my life. It changed everything for me, honestly. And I miss the people.
Yeah.
I miss the people. I miss Kevin. I miss playing the character, I guess. Do I miss the show? We did so much on that show that I'm so proud of. We touched so many topics, hot topics, topics that are relevant, you know, depression, sexuality, addiction, divorce, death, everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know if I miss it, or I'm just so proud of it. And I look at it as something that I accomplished that from beginning to end. And now you can just kind of look at it and go, wow, that was really amazing. I'm kind of, enjoying my life right now. Honestly,
That's great. Do you have a proud moment? Like a moment for your character, or that you look back and go, okay, that's the touch point. That's the touchstone. That's what
I'm proud of. I think everybody, when we started the show, everyone was so talented and just really great at what they were doing. And if you look at where everyone went, these are really talented, world-class actors. And if you look at where we ended up, 6 years is a grind. I enjoy going to work every single day. I love these people. And from the beginning until the very end, everyone gave their all. There were no days off. There was not one moment where you look, it was like a team, mm-hmm. right? And you go, hey, that we might have lost that game, but there wasn't one moment where someone took their eye off the ball. Mistakes happen for sure. But the effort was there from beginning to end. No one waned, never. So I'm proud of that overall. And then just the journey of the character. I love the way Dan Fogelman wrote this character where he's going through all this turmoil. And, you know, so often this will happen on TV. And then by the end of the episode or by the end of the season, mm-hmm. that character's fine and back to normal and everything's great. He didn't do that with Kevin, which I think that's more like what you go through in real life. There's not always a happy ending right around the corner.
Yes.
And so for years he was going through this thing and then he relapsed and he'd go through it again, which is life. And I appreciated that. And as you know, I'm friends with Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf was amazing. Came into the writer's room and just spilled. The guy's incredible. I mean,
well, I know. I mean, he sits in this chair quite frequently.
He's great at that too.
He's got a few dates coming up in August.
He's
in this
great
chair.
At that too. Yeah. So
he came to the writer's room. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sat down and gave his story, which he didn't have to do any of that. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're paying him. You know, he just did that out of the kindness of his own heart and for his love of the show. And I'll never forget that. He was amazing.
Have you run into anybody who just shares their story with you because it has mirrored
all the tons. It happens to me every time I leave my house.
No kidding.
Yeah. I love it.
I bet
I'm not a therapist at all, but I certainly can look at someone and listen to their story and, you know, help them in that way, I guess. But it's nice. It's pretty amazing. You set out to do what you want in life. And for me, it was be an actor, and it was so, you know, it's not going to happen, but I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And then it happens. And you're like, wow, this is happening. And then you get a show like This Is Us. Mm-hmm. I never in a million years thought that I would be part of something that was that special to so many people. So,
how'd you get it?
Yeah, I miss it.
How'd you get it? Did you?
I auditioned.
That's just that simple.
I auditioned, okay. And my friend Michael Rady calls me and says, "Have you read this Dan Fogelman pilot?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, I got it. It's called Pitch. It's the baseball one." He goes, "No, there's another one." He goes, "Do you know him?" And I go, "I know of him." And he goes, "I think he wrote you in the show. You have to read this." So he sent me the script. Mm-hmm. My friend Michael Rady's an actor. He was going out for, or he got the script somehow. Mm-hmm. And I go in and I'm flipping through the script and I see, and it's Jack, right? And I'm looking at I'm like, oh my God, I'm Jack. He does know me. I'm Jack. And then I flip like three or four or five more pages and I go, oh, I'm Kevin. Oh, crap. I got to get my together because I'm Kevin. and I was laughing, but I was also like, wow, is that what people, oh, right. Wow. So, then I went in and I auditioned and it was this really, long, sad monologue that I turned funny. I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. And they liked what I did. And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
Justin Hartley here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. You have something in common with my friend TJ Jefferson, who is to your right over there. You have both participated on The Price is Right. Yes, it is.
Yes. Yes, I love that.
Okay. Yeah. He's got his name tag right there. How did you wind up on The Price is Right? What happened here? What is this?
I got asked by the head guy at CBS if I would come in, and they do a primetime
version
show. Primetime version. It was my wife Sophia. Look how beautiful she is. That's why my life is so great right now. Honestly.
It's not Drew Carey making his Jeff Bridges turn.
No, it's the sun that rises and sets in her earlobes. Okay. She's incredible. That woman is. I mean, and honestly, find a woman like that is funny, speaks five languages, talented actress. She's like a stunt woman as well. She can cook. She's interested in so many things. Sometimes she talks about things, and I'm like, I got to look that word up. I don't even know what that word is. I don't even know what you're talking about, but I love listening to you, you know?
Yeah, sure.
We went on The Price is Right. They do like a charity thing, which is really nice. So sure. I have this charity Operation Therapy where we provide service animals to vets mm-hmm. with PTS and it really does help. It saves lives. And so we have this place in Montana, and we get these
beautiful
dogs to these vets.
So
yeah,
awesome.
So we raised, I wish I knew, had the number off the top of my head. It's $100,000+ we raised for the charity. And that goes a long way. So
of course it does.
It was great. And it's also fun.
Idea.
If you ever get a chance to do it.
The Price is Right?
Yeah.
Well, look.
It's awesome.
Years ago, the Price reached out to the NFL because the CBS had the Super Bowl.
Got
they
it.
Wanted to promote it because who's going to watch the Super Bowl without promotion?
No, that's true.
So,
well, you got to tell me what the Super Bowl is later.
Exactly. Like the Super Bowl.
I just keep saying
but I didn't care. I wasn't pushing back. They reached out and they said, would you... You know, they reached out to the NFL. Would you provide a couple people from the NFL to come on and be part of a show, not as a contestant, but to give away a showcase?
Great.
And I said, under one condition.
Yeah.
I have to give away a brand new car.
Yes.
That's it. Okay, it's got to be the ultimate. I'm not just going to show up in a dinette.
No.
You know what I mean? Like that ain't happening.
Nobody wants
it. I have to say the words brand new car.
That's right.
Okay, it's very, very rare do I make demands.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
You demanded it.
Of course. Of course. So I gave away cash and prizes.
That's great.
I wish I would be a contestant on it. TJ was a contestant on
I
it.
Were you a legit contestant?
Big time.
Legit.
Yes.
What do you mean, nah? How are you nah? That's legit.
What pricing game did you play? Did you watch?
No, so what they did was we helped all the contestants. We didn't play.
Oh.
And whenever we helped them win, whatever they won, we got cash equivalent
for your charity.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So two things. One thing.
Yeah.
First, I wish you could have been there, you and your wife, to help TJ.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, I'm glad you weren't there to help TJ because the charity would have come away with exactly nothing.
Wow, really?
I'm sorry. No. You would have come away with a popcorn machine?
We can't use that.
Ping pong table.
Ooh. Hold on. We got to ask him the question. A Harley Davidson. Two Harley Davidsons.
Hold on. So you want to play the pricing game with him?
Play the pricing game with him.
I'm pretty good.
Since he went through it.
Here now, let's say, Justin, that these clowns that you work with want to try to knock you because, one, you made it on The Price is Right during a quarantine, right?
Geez.
So you
had to... Oh, no, stop.
I'm like Biggie telling the rap. I got to set the story up for Justin.
Okay.
So, finally, hundreds of thousands of people, Justin, and you get on. You pass a Zoom interview.
Hundreds of thousands of people now.
You get onto The Price is Right. You actually make it onto the show and you get to the finals, right? You get to the showcase showdown.
So you did something right. What was the
pricing game?
When did it go the other way, I mean?
Oh, it never really did.
Okay.
But, no, it did.
The minute he walked out on stage.
Hold on a second. I'm sure, Hoskins, you have the photographs ready if you don't mind. The minute he gets on stage... The minute his name is called to come on down,
I got hyped. Because, Justin, here's the deal.
They want you to be hyped when they come. You didn't focus on the pricing games.
I did a little, if you watch wrestling, you know Scott Hall, Razor Ramon. I did a little Razor Ramon walk, and then I hit a Michael Jackson moonwalk.
Yeah,
at this point, the entire studio
there it is, right there, Justin.
So
right there.
This is how it comes out.
Oh. Hey, listen. The shoe game is on point.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Round of applause for that.
Yeah.
The game was nice.
So I get to the final. I spin the wheel, Justin. I've got to go first. I got to wait for two other people to go over. So I get to this showcase showdown.
Right.
A girl has the first bid. She passes it to me. Mm-hmm. How much would you bid for two Harley Davidson motorcycles?
That was it? That was all it was?
There was a trip to Florida. To go to space camp.
And one of those big telescopes.
A big telescope.
A trip to Florida. Right?
Trip to Florida. Okay. For NASA space
and camp. A hotel stay.
Okay. For like a week?
For how long?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Let's just say it's a week.
Yeah, let's say it's a week.
And
two Harley Davidsons.
Okay. How much would you bid on that?
I would have bid like 74,000.
Okay. Well, Justin, I bid 42,000.
Okay.
Do you know what the bid for two Harley Davidson was?
No.
They were $8,000 a piece.
I would have lost. I would
have
gone
everybody on earth would have lost.
There it is right there.
You went over.
Face.
Yeah. That's how I like to see. It's fine. Yeah.
How is this not on a t-shirt yet?
You just said 75, right? I was thinking,
that's what I mean. But wait,
oh, you know what? I would have gone there.
I never would have thought two Harley Davidsons.
You can get a Harley for $8,000?
Yeah.
Each. You can get a Harley for $8,000?
Yes. Apparently, these ones on the price.
I'm doing this afternoon. A small guy, cruiser, not souped up. Yeah,
I think if you and your lovely wife had eyeballed it, you might have been able to help him out. You know what I'm saying? Because right now you're thinking of like, you know, probably like Easy Rider. You know what I mean?
No.
These were not.
This is like a step up from a bicycle.
Pretty much.
Got it.
Like an electric bike, essentially.
Got it.
Easy for these guys to say after the point.
What's weird is we helped a couple. Well, we helped all the couples. It was a Valentine's Day episode. It was really cool, actually.
Of course.
So everyone's a couple that comes on. We helped this couple, and we steered them in the wrong direction because there actually there, it
just,
was
you
actually
can just talk to the camera. I want you to have to turn around and mess up your shots.
It was actually two electric bikes.
Oh wow!
We went way over because those bikes were really expensive.
Yeah.
I forget what they were. They were ridiculously priced. Anyway, we lost that for them.
See, the problem is his ultimate problem was the pricing game that got him to the showcase showdown, and then the ultimate.
This was the problem.
It's called Master Key, and it's a very rare pricing game.
I was told on Twitter it's in the bottom third of
very
all games
rare pricing
ever
game.
Played.
Very rare. That was his problem.
Like, you got kind of screwed.
The Price is Right gods dealt him a very difficult hand, but there are five keys.
and if you get a
pricing game correct within the pricing game, you get to choose a key.
Okay.
He got one pricing game correct and he chose a key.
Yeah.
He made the big mistake of not looking, like, again, too much entertainment. He covered his eyes.
I was having fun, Justin.
Everybody knows you take the middle key. Everybody knows.
Well, it's hard to when you're covering your eyes and your back's turned to it. I couldn't really tell which key was in the middle.
I think you could have helped him.
I could have helped, maybe. But I would have gone over, though.
You would have gone over.
I think so, Justin.
I'm going to Photoshop you into that picture next.
No, don't do me any favors, man. Come on.
What a blast, though, to be there. I mean, the colors are, I mean, the it's, set it's, is it's incredible.
I used to work, actually, it's at CBS Studios there, right by the Grove. And across the hallway, they shoot Young and the Restless, which I was on. Several years ago.
Sure.
Bolden. And so we would see, you know, treadmills, boats, everything else. Crazy. A putting green, you know, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Little miniature. I mean, I would be like, this is crazy. It's a little miniature moped, all the stuff they've got going in and out of there.
Yeah, and you have a great scene. You nail your lines. It's really dramatic. And you're a yodeler in the background climbing up the mountain.
This actually happened. So there's a scene, or you could be like, you know, it's a quiet scene. And all of a sudden, you just hear the audience just erupt, and you're like, "This is the best we can do." You can't close the soundstage door. I mean, this is, and then of course the rapid fire of soaps. They're like, "I think we got it." I'm like, "I don't think we got it." And they're like, "We got it." No, you just don't care, and you have to move on. You don't got it. I'm telling you, you don't got it.
Man. Yeah, because they're right. Bolden the Beautiful and Young, right? Like
that's right. That's right. They're exactly. Right, yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God.
They do so many. They do
everything there.
Bill Maher's show is in the same stage as Price is Right.
Yep.
They turn it over.
I just remember walking around the backstage there, and you see all the pricing games are just jammed in there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that's where they keep them. And, like, I saw the Plinko board.
Oh,
and
I'm
like, that's iconic.
You kind of want to take the Plinko thing when I was in the back here one time.
Justin, do you need a ping pong table by chance?
I do. Do you have one?
Oh, really? You don't say.
We were just, my wife and I were just talking about how much we love ping pong.
Tell Sophia, you might have the hookup.
Let's take the ping pong table, let's sell it for charity, and we'll give the money to this beautiful charity.
That'd be great.
Dogs help those with PTSD. It's a beautiful idea.
Yeah. Operation Therapy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That.
Yeah, I know. We're really proud of it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. We should do it with that ping pong table. You guys sign it and everything?
Let's do it. Where is it right now, TJ?
Still in my living room.
It's too heavy to move,
It's still in the box.
Yeah, I know.
Is it really?
It got delivered by two cats who were both like 6'4", 320. Yeah, yeah. They were sweating like it was 100 out.
Yeah.
Barker's non-beauties dropped them off. What's the Noel Diary? What's that about?
Oh, it's a movie that I did with Charles Shire, who directed Father of the Bride and he's back at it. I think the last thing he directed maybe was Alfie. And so I got to work with him. He is a guy's an icon. He's also He's got more energy than anyone I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing this for so long. He's such a great director. Anyway, the story is, comes out on Netflix, I think in November, I believe.
Okay.
And it's basically, without giving too much away, I hope I don't get in trouble here because I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about. But it's it follows this guy. I play this character who's an author. And he's doing a book signing. He's finally comes back home from a book signing tour. And he gets some news about his family that he's estranged from. And like I said, without giving too much away,
sure.
It sends him on this journey to try to discover these things that are missing in his life and how it's related to his family and his past and his relationship with his mom and his dad and all of that. And in doing so, he also has a partner with him, this woman who is trying to find someone. Mm-hmm. So they go on this journey together, literally cross-country journey together, to try to, you know, plug in these holes where their lives are lacking. And they end up kind of connecting in a very special way. So a lot of things get found out about, he finds out a lot about himself, mm-hmm. what he's capable of, his shortcomings. It's a really great, story, moving and also fun. You know, there's some comedy in there as well. So.
Coming to Netflix later this year, the original title was The Conrad Diary, but that's what's called a callback.
Yeah.
That's a callback.
The Conrad. We were actually going to change the name to The Conrad Diary. Yeah, yeah.
The Noel Diary, check it out on Netflix later this year. Everybody should go to revelspirits.com to check out the new Avila from Justin Hartley. And you're the man. Come back anytime, brother.
Oh, thank you very much. I love being here.
A lot of fun.
Love being here.
At Justin Hartley on Twitter and Instagram. Follow him. We'll be back to kind of preview tonight's contest. There's a photograph once again, an updated
there
photograph.
It is. Look at that. That happened quick.
The Price is Right.
That happened quick.
It's never over.
No, it's great.
Right here on the program, our friends at NetSuite want me to remind you that perhaps poor visibility in your business world is causing your business to not be as successful as it can be. Maybe because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, which is the number one cloud financial system. Gives you the full picture of your entire business with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. And the head of Rich Eisen Show HR knows all about that over there.
Thank you.
You're all about having visibility. I know that.
Obviously.
NetSuite is everything you need. All in one place, you can automate your manual processes, close your books in no time while staying well ahead of the competition. Did you know 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite? Over 31,000 businesses already use NetSuite. This summer, NetSuite has a special financing program for those ready to upgrade, but you got to go to my special website, netsuite.com/richradio. If you head to netsuite.com/richradio, you get this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. But please use that slash of the netsuite.com/richradio. Fun stuff with Justin Hartley right there on our program. So tonight, I'm rooting for a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hang on a second. Tonight, I'm rooting for a tie. Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
Of course.
And I was at the last tie in the All-Star game. It was the last All-Star game I covered for ESPN. No bueno. Awful. A tie.
Well, yeah, that was not
It was
good.
Brutal.
Not a good tie.
The folks at baseball have come up with an idea. Hey, if there's a tie, three players in the American League, three players in the National League, let's have a home run derby.
Boom.
And that's the way all she wrote. And I heard this and I thought to myself, you know what? That's better than the stupid-ass Ghost Runner that's being used in baseball right now.
The Ghost Runner's not great.
I think this, in baseball, if you want to have the Ghost Runner in a 10th inning, do that for what? One inning?
I would say
two innings.
Maybe start it
two innings.
Started at the 12th, maybe.
Two innings. If you want to do that.
Oh, so like 10 and 11?
How hockey does it? Hockey does it where they have a miniature overtime.
Four on four,
right?
And they go three on three.
Which doesn't look just at all like the regular because they take two players off the ice. Yep. It's three on three.
Right.
And then after that, shootout. Baseball. Love this. Love it. Ghost runner for two innings. If it's tied after that, home run derby. I know I sound stupid. I know I sound stupid.
Like it.
It's just not baseball.
Do you guys know who
I don't
they
think
pick?
It's baseball either, but neither is the Ghost Runner. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I hate it. And you know what? I would hate it if I'm a reliever. That's an earned run. You didn't put the runner on. You just come in the 10th inning. That runner scores. It's an earned run against you and a loss.
Yeah.
You could basically come in and get three outs. Don't give up a hit. Don't put anybody on. And it's an earned run against you and a loss. It's ridiculous. So while we're endeavoring in the ridiculous, let's go totally ridiculous.
Yeah, but then you got
home run derby.
But then you got to set up. Like Manfred's whole thing is speed up the game. Let's get it over with.
Speed
but
up you the
gotta,
game. You know what needs to be speeded up? The actual home run derby needs to be speeded up. It shouldn't take 3 hours for that thing last
it's
night.
Once a year. Who cares?
It's too long.
Do you guys know who the players are who will do the derby?
Yeah, they've already announced them, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you knew who their names were.
No, go. Do you have them?
Yeah, go ahead. We got Pete Alonso of the Mets. We got Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies. And we have Ronald Acuna Jr. Of the Braves for the National League. The American League, Dusty Baker selected Julio Rodriguez, obviously. Ty France and Kyle Tucker of the Astros.
Kyle Tucker. Advantage AL.
Ty France also of
the
Mariners.
Do you think?
The guys aren't tired.
I mean, Julio Rodriguez, he probably could do it.
He's 21.
All day long.
He could just run it back.
That's a good point. He could
Schwarber and Alonso look pretty gassed.
Let's get a tie game, people. Let's get a tie game.
We got to get a tie game on purpose, right? Like ninth inning, we're down one. You got to groove one to somebody.
Cookie? Send a cookie?
Like Chan Ho Park. Like Chan Ho Park. Right down the middle.
Right to Cal Ripken?
Right down the middle.
And we'll put Dave Roberts at third base and he'll get hit by a bat, too. Dodger manager playing third base, coaching third base. Fun show today. Thanks for joining us, Justin Hartley. I want to thank Carl Ravitch and, of course, Stuart Scott's beautiful, smart, successful daughters, Taylor and Sydney Scott. We're back to wrap things up on Peacock in a sec.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.